Hi, everybody, and good morning. It's really nice to see all of you here in this room, and I want to say hello to everybody who's with us online, wherever you are. It's just good that we can be with you in your space as we gather here together. We're in the fourth week, as you've heard, of the series Light of Light. And what we've been doing throughout Advent, which, by the way, Advent means arrival. We're expecting the arrival of Jesus and the celebration of such on Christmas Eve. We have been tracing the theme of light through the scriptures. In the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament, the prophecy that came hundreds of years before Jesus had the theme of light in it. And we're in the Gospels now around how light arrived at Jesus' birth. Jesus is the light of the world, guiding our path. And today, as we'll find in the scripture that we have, he comes as a burst of light in the dark night to some unlikely characters that I think we're going to be able to liken ourselves to. Question for you. Have you ever had a moment of surprise in your life that changed everything for you? I'll never forget the words from my wife almost 11 years ago this week when she came downstairs to our kitchen and said, "How would you like to become a dad before Christmas?" We had our plan, and we knew when he was supposed to arrive, but due to some complications in Courtney's pregnancy, he was on his way right then. And the weight of that question and the joy that it met me with caused me to just like get stuck in our kitchen. Like, what? He's coming? And then I thought, okay, let's go. And so we packed, and I forgot all my clothes. And then we got in the car and drove through a snowstorm, and we took our time because we didn't quite know what we were up against yet. And we took our time getting to the hospital, but when we arrived, she was whisked away immediately, and an emergency delivery came because it was more serious than we realized, and 45 minutes later, Everett was here. And we got to experience the joy of our son, which was such a gift, but his surprise, even a few weeks of a surprise, changed everything for us. And sometimes the surprise of joy can come in such a way that you have no choice but to act. And the surprise of joy in a burst of light is the story of the shepherds. In Luke chapter 2 is where we find them. Now, Luke's gospel is the one in which we find the most detail of Jesus' birth in the Christmas story. We find a lot of characters in the gospel of Luke. And again, the shepherds are some of them. They were surprised by joy and light, and they acted immediately. So here's my message today. Be like the shepherds. It could be done. But there's more to say. Because what I want to invite us to do is to just like dive into the scripture and experience the story as though we were living it ourselves, so that prayerfully, God can make it come alive for us this week, in a year, in a moment in human history that we need light and joy and Jesus like never before. Be like the shepherds. Come and see. Go and tell and let loose in worship. I love how God speaks to us through his word. What the scriptures tell us is that as we read the word, the Holy Spirit is with us. And the reason why I raise that is because I've had this experience multiple times in my life, perhaps you have as well, where you might read a familiar passage of scripture, and then all of a sudden, God brings a brand new meaning to it. There's something there that maybe you never saw before that God highlighted for you. And that's what I pray will happen today. That's what's happened to me as I've dug into the story of the shepherds, so that it will come alive in a brand new way. If you have your Bibles with you, by the way, go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 2. Maybe you've got it on your phone. It'll come up on the screens in just a moment. We're going to spend the majority of our time there. Starting in verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Now, this story starts in a very curious place, the fields nearby Bethlehem, and God chose again some unlikely characters, the shepherds, to be the ones who would hear first. Now, I think that there are some things that we can learn about God's character in his choosing of the shepherds. And the first is this: God in his mercy comes to the humble, to the lowly, and the ready to respond. This is the theme that Luke highlights in his gospel. Now, shepherding was a despised occupation, especially by the religious elite of that day. The shepherds who were in their fields all the time with constant demands from their flocks were not able to keep up with the ceremonious law, the hand washings that were meticulous, and the rules and regulations. So as a result, society looked down on them as well. But these simple men of the field were the last to hear any news because they were isolated from most of society. But God chose them. God chose them because he knew something about them. They had ears to hear. Now, God could have sent his angels to the elite, the religious leaders, the governor, even Herod himself. But he knew, and we find out through the whole story, that it was to them that they actually rejected the news. Why would God send his angels to someone who is not ready to respond? What a statement. He would go to those on the fringes, to those who are humble enough to respond with faith. And Jesus says in Matthew 13, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see and hear what you saw and heard but did not see it, and to hear what you did hear but did not hear it." God chose shepherds to be the first, because he knew something about them that they would hear it and they would be ready to respond. The second thing I want us to capture is that God, through his angel, arrives to them in their normal life. And when you stop and think about it, in their work, in their workplace, I mean, this was like the overnight shift in the middle of the dark field. And what these shepherds were doing were trading off watch to keep watch of their flocks so that when a predator came or when a bandit came to steal a sheep, that those shepherds at any given moment would be able and willing to lay down their life in protection of their flock. It was interesting. It had to be this mixture of monotony, but yet living on edge, because if one of those two threats were to manifest themselves, they would need to respond. It's in that moment of shepherding normalcy that the angel comes. Where the quiet hours of the overnight field, the bleating of the sheep is the only sound, the normal life of the shepherds, that they were surprised with joy through a burst of light. And I believe that to be true of us as well. The advent of Jesus, the arrival of Jesus, comes to you and me in our normal life this week. In our normal life, will we be ready to receive it? Will we have ears to hear, hearts ready to respond in a unique way? Jesus wants to arrive in your heart this Advent. Jesus wants to arrive in your family this Advent. Jesus seeks to arrive in your neighborhood, in your friendships, in your workplace, just like the shepherds. Even in your normal, mundane, washing laundry, running errands, taking the trash out life. That's where Jesus comes. Here's what John 1:14 says in the Message paraphrase. The word, Jesus, became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, into our normal life. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. Jesus arrives in the normal, to the humble, to the ready to respond with ears to hear and eyes to see him. And he comes with a burst of joy. Let me read verse 9 for us again. It says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them," the shepherds, "and the glory of the Lord shone around them." Have you ever had an experience in your life where light was so blinding to you that you couldn't see? Maybe it was the flash of an iPhone camera. Or maybe you had an experience like what I did a few years ago. I was driving to a meeting early in the morning, and I was driving straight east into the sunrise. And I started to watch it come over, and my drive was long enough where I saw the fullness of the sunrise. And slowly but surely it crested until it came all the way over the edge of the horizon. And it was so powerful that I almost had to pull over and stop driving. And the reason why I discovered was because it was a soon-to-be Minnesota winter morning that was incredibly cold, in which the atmosphere does something to the sun's rays that is called a sundog. Check this out. Have you seen one of these before? If you haven't, it's likely that they're coming because the cold is too. But it was such an incredibly bright moment because of the atmospheric freezing conditions. It creates this ring around the sun that makes it even more powerful to our eyes. Now, I raise that to say my experience of blinding light was only a sliver of what it was like for the shepherds. The heavens opened up. The text says the glory of the Lord shone around them. What does that mean? The brightness or glory which was represented as all-encompassing of heavenly visions. What am I saying? Literally, the heavens opened up with the presence of an angel, and the brightness of eternity arrived in their life in the midst of that dark field. And so naturally, they responded with fear. I mean, what would you do? You're standing there in a dark, cold field, and boom, all of a sudden this light arrives. They responded in fear. Some translations of the Bible read, the shepherds were sorely afraid. Sorely afraid. When was the last time that you felt terrified? Again, put yourself in the shepherd's shoes. You're minding your business. The heavens open up and the glory of the Lord shines. We'll sing this on our Christmas Eve gathering. Silent night, holy night. Shepherds what? Quake at the sight, trembling in fear. Now, this has captured us as we've talked about this as a team. And I wanted to share this. Based on who these shepherds were, I wondered if there was a possibility to which they not just had a fear of that moment, but also a fear of what God was going to do next. As though they had a fear that as God arrived, he would squash them in judgment, harshness, or something that God is not about in their life that they expected. After all, these folks were on the religious fringe. And I wonder for us, for you, if that may be your experience as well. We think about encountering the God of the universe. What are you expecting that God to say to you? Is it a message of judgment, of harshness? Is there something in your life or journey that's gotten in the way, potentially, of the love that's about to burst forth? If that's you, step into this moment with the shepherds. Because just as they thought they were going to experience the harshness of a deity that they didn't quite know yet, the announcement comes, and here's what it says. The angel speaks good news directly to the shepherds' fear. They're trembling, they're quaking, and the angel says, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy." How would you feel if out after the gathering this morning in our commons, or maybe for those of you who are online, I just saw you out in the community and I walked up to you and I said, "Hey, I've got good news for you." We all like good news, right? There's an eagerness of anticipation. But what if I said, "Hey, I have good news that's going to be great joy for you and all the people." I think the anticipation would rise. And that's what the angel is about to say. And this is an announcement that's repeated at the birth of Jesus that echoes from the ancient prophecies. After all, people were expecting Isaiah 9, 2 through 3, where it says, "The people walking in darkness, the shepherds walking in the field, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder." What was true of that moment and is true now in this experience is that ancient prophecy that sat out there for hundreds of years was coming to life before their eyes. This was an ignition. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people, because today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. This is good news of great joy that comes to you in your life right now. A Savior has been born. Something caught me then in verse 13 and 14. Literally, heaven explodes. 13 says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appears with the angel, praising God and saying," verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those whom his favor rests." Can you imagine what that must have been like for the shepherds? The heavens open, they hear this declaration from an angel, and then all of a sudden the curtain goes all the way back and they see the entirety of heaven. What does this lofty language mean? A company of the heavenly host. Simply put, it was an army of angels to announce peace. An army of angels. I want to see that. I want to hear that. I want to feel that. Can you imagine what that must have been like? I've grown up in church, and I've been here for a few decades. And in this church, Westwood, and in other churches I've been a part of, I've been a part of a gathering where a big choir lets it rip. How about you? There's something so stirring about that. Now take that as a tiny sliver of what the shepherds heard and saw. An army of angels announcing peace. Heaven in all of its reality that with God life came to bear in their sight right then and there. The reason why I add extra emphasis is that this is the joy that we celebrate the birth of the Savior with this week. That kind of tenor coming to us in our actual life right now and all that it means. Heaven opening up. An army of angels announcing peace right now. So what would the shepherds do? Put yourself in the story. Pretend that you're one of them that has just seen all of this. Let's carry on the story in verse 15. I'll turn the page, I promise. It says this, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Be like the shepherds, that's the call. Come and see. Now, I just am kind of imagining this moment. We're the shepherds. Heaven opens up. We see this great army of heavenly angels announcing peace and declaring the glory of God. And then all of a sudden, they're gone again. And we're back to normal. The darkness, the sheep are there. And I'm picturing them having this moment where they're looking at each other. Maybe you've had this moment in life, you've experienced something just phenomenal, and you've been with others, and you look at each other, and you're like, did you just see that? And you kind of pinch each other's arms. Are we still here? They had to have a moment like that, but it didn't last very long because they went. They took off, and they went with pure hearts. The word says, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They didn't question it. They didn't say, hey, let's go to Bethlehem and prove it. Or let's go to Bethlehem to just make sure that that was going on. No, let us see what we have been told about. It was with humble commitment and curiosity that they went. It's no wonder why God announced it to them first. Because they went. And not just that, they went right away. They hurried off in obedience. The shepherds did not make haste. They took off. And again, this is why God chose them first. They wouldn't reject it. They wouldn't push back against it. They would just go. In verses 15 and 16 in the Voice translation, it says this, let's rush down to Bethlehem right now. Let's go. Let's see what's happening. Let's experience what the Lord has told us about. Their hearts were captured because they had experienced that awe-inspiring light in the word behind it, and it was fresh and brand new, and it had not grown dull. I want to pause and just ask us a couple questions. The first is this, because I think this can happen. Have you lost the wonder of the arrival of Jesus, of Christmas? Maybe a little bit, or maybe a lot of bit. I think as we go through life, that can be adrift for whatever reason, a variety of reasons. But I think what God is calling us to right now is to re-engage in this story and let it come alive in a beautiful, life-changing, life-shaping way. You know, Jesus called out and told people who thought they had it figured out, you know, unless you have a faith like a child, you won't get it. That's my paraphrase. And I was reminded of that over the last few weekends, you know, as we've hosted this light show at our two campuses in the parking lot. Some colleagues of mine and other volunteers have said it was really amazing to watch kids. And I saw it with my own eyes. The first Saturday, I was over here at our Chanhassen campus at the entry, and I would greet cars as they came and hand out this thing that helped guide them through the experience. and I noticed something about the kids. They weren't sitting down. In the cars, they were standing up in their cars, unless they were like crying in one of those 5-point harnesses, parents. Sorry if that was you, but there were others that were in the front seat safely leaning over the dashboard because they couldn't get there fast enough. And the look on their face was just this awe and wonder of the light and the story that was behind it. And every once in a while, like a 3-year-old would yell from the car, "Merry Christmas," and my heart like got pulled out of my chest because they get it. It's no wonder why Jesus said that. Have faith like a child. This Christmas, have faith like a child. Have action like shepherds. Go and see and experience it with new lenses. Second question I want to ask is particular to our experience right now, and this is, what are you missing this week? Is there a gap in your experience of Christmas this year? Perhaps it's a family gathering that would have happened, but there's a choice not to have that this year. Maybe you've lost a loved one in this last year. All of us have experienced loss in this year. And I believe in 2020, Jesus's heart for us would be to have his advent come to that gap, that vacuum, that void, that grief, that hurt. That's where he will be born to you, I believe, this season. So let that happen. Receive it with ears to hear, eyes to see. Dig into the story. Don't let that vacuum become a void, because God is entering into that in this moment as you come and see Jesus. Be like the shepherds. Come and see. Be like the shepherds then and go and tell. At Christmas time, I think people are genuinely more open to the story of Jesus because it's the story of Christmas. And I think God works through that in a beautiful way. After the shepherds had experienced Jesus, they made haste. They flew down to Bethlehem and they saw with their very own eyes. What did they do next? They told anyone that was around them. I mean, anyone that was in their loving blast radius heard about this story. And in verse 17, it says, when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about their child. I think about dozens of times in the last 5 years where I've been inspired to tell something to someone about whatever it was that I've experienced. And I ask myself the question this Christmas, am I doing that with Jesus? What it means to go and tell is to do so by inviting. I think you might invite someone into your life. Maybe it's reaching out to a person that you know is alone over Christmas. Perhaps it's inviting someone to join you in person or online for a Christmas Eve gathering. Secondly, I think it's about telling the story by sharing it. Maybe there's somebody in your life who you feel like God has been prompting you to tell the story of why you believe in Jesus Christ in hopes that God will use that moment to point them to him. You felt it for a long time, but now's the time and you feel the nudge even right now. Be like the shepherds and go and tell. Or perhaps it's just you telling the story by experiencing it deeply enough that it just naturally comes forth from you. It's like your cup being so filled with the arrival of Jesus that you're just pouring over in a gentle, loving, respectful way to everybody that you see, whether it's at the grocery store, whether it's out in school, whether it's out in the neighborhood that you belong to and that you live in, that you tell the story by living it out. Now, secondly, I want us to capture around going and telling that God's already at work, because in verse 18 it says, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. The shepherds didn't make them amazed. They probably didn't, do it all that eloquently, but God used it because God had been stirring in the hearts of those who heard the story already. How? The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 shows us how. Where it says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. God has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Every human being alive, God has created them and us with an eternal seed in our hearts. And I believe at this time of year, that seed is stirring. In a simple way that you can trust God for, how will you go and tell to help that seed to germinate? That's God's work to do, but it's our responsibility to join him in going and telling. Be like the shepherds, come and see. Be like the shepherds, go and tell. And the third one comes out of Luke chapter 2, verse 20. This is the message paraphrase. I love this. Listen to this. The shepherds returned and let loose. Okay, good. The shepherd, I don't know if you heard that woo online, but maybe you felt it. The shepherds returned and let loose. Sometimes, okay, we're getting there. They let loose, glorifying and praising God for everything that they had heard and seen. It turned out exactly the way that they had been told. They were on their way back to normal, at least their new normal. How many times have we talked about our desire to return back to normal or a new normal? But in all reality, how good was normal anyway? What if God is leading us into the now normal in which his advent comes to us in a profound way in the middle of 2020? And what he wants us to do with our very lives is to let loose in worship through everything that we do, to allow this story to stir so deeply that we're like those kids, we can't sit down. And that it's so deep within us to be like the shepherds, to let loose in worship. They went because of all that they had heard and seen. This Christmas, as you're going through, allow yourself to see and hear and experience Jesus. Go and tell, knowing that there's joy on the other side of you putting words to faith or inviting. And then as you do so, let loose in all that we live through. And rejoice boldly for all that we have seen, which is the eternal good news of great joy in the weirdest and darkest year that any of us have lived through. Right now. The now normal. What that might look like is today, as we close our gathering through singing, that you let loose in that worship. Whatever that might look like for you. Knowing that it's different sometimes for all of us. That means coming in worship in person online or in Christmas Eve, engaging the story in a unique way. It also means maybe as a family that you tell each other the story and remind each other the reason why. I have a friend who's my age, whose dad, every year that he can remember since he was a toddler, read Luke chapter 2 right before they opened presents. As a kid, he hated it. Why? Because Luke 2 is long. That's a long book. But now as an adult, he reflects back on that, and that's a sacred moment. Because as a family unit, they were unified in remembering why we love each other and why we give gifts because of the greatest gift ever given. As you go to the grocery store, your work, your school, as you wrap your gifts given out of love, as you interact with your kids, with your parents, with the average person that you see out in the community, may you let loose in worship. May you allow this story deep within your soul again through fresh, childlike eyes. And may you live it, because this is a world right now, friends. I don't need to be the one to say it, but I want to say it, that needs joy desperately. That needs the people of Jesus Christ to go out and to live life as free, as worshipful, and to let loose in this story, the light of the world, the promised one to give us life, so that we can live ours. This week, friends, let's be like the shepherds. Let's respond like them. Let's come and see, experience Jesus. Let's go and tell as God leads us to. And let's all let loose in worshipful living in everything that we do. Amen? Would you stand with me as we pray and prepare to worship together through music? God, Your word tells us that you know everything. You know when we get up in the morning, you know that when we lay our heads down at night, you know our coming and our going, you know the nature of our life, you know the circumstances that we experience, you know our joy, you know our pain. You know where we are filled up, and you know this year in Christmas where there is a gap of something that is different. You know it all. And you are present with us in all of that. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit this week, for all of us, wherever we may be at in faith, may this story of your entry, Jesus, come alive in a brand new way. And may we have the trust, the action, the desire in our hearts to respond to you in whatever a faithful response would look like for each of us. knowing that you lead us and guide us in that way. Jesus, we thank you for coming. You became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood, and we will forever be grateful. And so as we sing to you, let our praise rise. As we let loose in our life of worship of you, may you be honored, and may you continue to change this world. You are the light in the darkness. Be so for us in this world this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.